Who's your favorite Pokemon?
That's it.
Who's your favorite
Pokemon? You just sat there for like 60 seconds.
I did this already. You told me it was Scyther.
Yeah.
Okay, no. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 27th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti. What are you laughing about, AJ?
Oh, nothing.
All right. There's Edge Guy. Hey, Edge Guy.
Hi.
Got a great show today, right?
That's absolutely right. We're trying things new.
I don't like new things. I quit.
No. Put your mic back on. It's going to be fine.
Well, all right. If you say it's going to be fine.
It is.
I thought it wouldn't be. So
it is.
You convinced me. So we got news and, like, we're throwing, like, the Let's Go Topical Topics into the news segment, right?
Well, they basically are the news segment. There's just more of them.
Oh, okay.
So basically we're just trying to create – we're just getting the news stories that are going to generate a meanie-ish discussion.
All right. I get you. Then
we're going to – doesn't work, you can blame Jeff Parsons.
Yeah, which I usually do for anything else anyways. It's always that Jeff Parsons fault. Ah, speeding ticket. Damn it, Jeff Parsons! Ah! All right, so after that, we'll do like a little Vita 3DS battle royale.
I like to call it.
Two will enter, and one will be called slightly better by us. And then talk about a week in gaming, which is a lot of Vita impressions. Got Metal Gear Solid 3D. I got a Circle Pad Pro, too. So
yeah,
finally, dual analog portable gaming.
At last.
Yes. So we'll talk about that and other things, and that'll be the show. So with the releases, of course. So let's get going. What's first?
Fire it up. Okay, so with the launch of the Vita this week, we already knew that the UMD Passport service, which was a system in Japan where you could download data from your UMDs to your PSP and then get, like, discounts on their digital versions on your Vita, would not be coming to U.S. So Sony tried to explain why this is the case.
Did they basically just say the PSP isn't popular in America? So
more or less. Their first thing was that there's still a lot of PSP games coming out in Japan. There are, you know, many more people who are buying a Vita who have larger PSP libraries, blah, blah, blah. In Japan. But their other big sticking point is that, here, I'll read his quote. This is, Shuhei Yoshida. The other point is that when you look at PSP titles sold digitally in the States or Europe, games are sold for a really reasonable price. You can buy Final Fantasy Tactics for $10. That's a great price. PSP games in Japan are sold at a much higher price, so people see the value in spending the $5 to $10 to get the digital copy.
Even though that is a good price, you still have to buy it again. And second off, a lot of games, not every game is priced that reasonably.
He pulled, like, the one example where this is true.
Like, how much is Birth by Sleep on there?
It's not on there.
It's not. Oh, that's right.
So that's a bad example.
That's terrible.
Okay, all the Persona games?
Why isn't it? Yeah, Persona.
$40. All of them.
Persona 1?
Yes. The new God of War? $30. The first God of War?
If you found
$20.
If you found a bargain bin copy of God of War, Chains of Olympus, there's no way it cost $20.
I looked up all of these on Amazon. They're all, like, the Persona games are within, like, the 25 to 30 range. The God of War games are, like, 12. It's bullshit.
Like, Persona 3, I might be able to see it, but everything else is
pretty
hard.
But what if you already bought it?
Yeah, well, then,
what if you bought the UMD? They want you to pay 40. Like I said.
I mean, it's like, basically, is backwards compatibility a right, or is it a...
I just find it insulting that this guy finds, like, the one game and points out that and nothing else.
That's his job. Of course, he's going to make it look
just
as pretty as possible.
Just don't say anything.
He's going to say something you want to know.
Idiotic. It's absolutely
idiotic.
Don't say
anything, because if he didn't say anything, you'd be like, why don't they just talk and explain? You don't like their explanation. Of course you're not. He has a point, though.
If he wants to say that it's because we just didn't feel there was enough demand in the country, fine. But then don't try to be like, plus, you know, you're an idiot anyway, because these are cheap.
I mean, that one example is not bad, because I think the iPad version of Final Fantasy
Tactics is $18 freaking.
Jesus Christ. Too bad. I might
guess
like
what?
That.
I might play better on a Vita.
Yeah. Okay, so next, then.
The other thing, too, I should point out is all the digital games still aren't available, which I don't understand. For example, two games I got, which were part of that ambassador program, Killzone Liberation and Mod Nation Racers, which you'd figure a high percentage of people are apt to own those games digitally since they were free. They're not available yet, with quotation fingers.
Interesting.
But, like, what's the delay there?
And what do you have to do?
I assume the PSP emulator, it's not like, I don't think it's like the Xbox where they have to, like, individually code each game.
I don't see why.
Yeah, so, like, can I, what, huh? Like I said, if that was going to be the case, you think those five games that they gave away for free digitally that, like, probably almost every PSP owner owns, you think they would have had those five be ready?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what they're thinking half of them.
You also can't download demos.
Like PSP demos.
Yeah. I think, I haven't tried it yet, I think you might be able to download it on your PS3 and transfer it, but not directly on the device.
Transfer, right?
No. Shut up. We're not using their made-up freaking words.
Transferring. Okay. Transferomization.
Stop it. So, after the whole Xenoblade coming to America thing, we also now get confirmation that The Last Story coming to North America this summer.
That's good. I mean, this is Sakaguchi.
Yeah, this is the guy who made Final Fantasy.
And more recently, Blue Dragon and freaking Lost Odyssey.
Right.
You liked Lost Odyssey a little bit, didn't you?
I did like Lost Odyssey. I'd like the story, oddly enough.
Blue Dragon looked weird to me.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Right. But, once again, though, I love how he always names his games so that they're basically just, like, synonyms for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, The Last Story.
Last, Final, Last, Story, Fantasy. I mean, you could, how about The Last Fantasy or The Final Story, you know?
Right.
So, but, it's like, does this play very, is this like a very old school JRPG?
I talked to Pete today. This game just came out in Europe. The two games he likened it to were Uncharted and Dragon Age.
That makes no sense to me.
Here's why.
Is it real time?
No.
It's
very linear, very scripted. There's not a lot of grinding and filler content.
That's fine by me.
It's very dense set pieces, which grinding filler content is like 70% of what I hate about JRPGs. So hearing that makes me very excited.
I'm very flexible on my JRPGs. I don't mind either way.
Now
I'm bi JRPG.
I
swing both ways.
Moving on. His Dragon Age comparison.
Bi JRPG. That could be the bi RPG. That's the title of the show.
No.
Why not?
I already have a title. You weren't listening to me. I'll tell you later.
I never listened to you. What is it?
His Dragon Age comparison comes from the fact that the characters have, like, a lot of inter-party banter when you're walking around like they do in Dragon Age.
That's good.
Which I really liked in Dragon Age. That's cool. I asked him, what's he think he likes better, this or Xenoblade? He said they're just really different, because this is, like, you know,
like
linear, scripted kind of thing, where Xenoblade's more, like, open, huge kind of deal. The two other ends of the RPG spectrum.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying these, though.
Mm-hmm. I guess I should mention, too, this is being published by XSEED, whereas, who's doing Xenoblade? Is it Nintendo? Is it, like, Capcom
Nintendo
or something?
I thought Nintendo was
weird?
Doing it or
is
something.
Is it Nintendo? Okay.
Maybe. I'm not sure now. Because they're only doing it at GameStop.
Right. This will be just regular release done by XSEED.
It's
good to see these games actually coming out now.
What's the last one?
I don't know.
It was always the least important one,
right.
I feel like.
So I don't think anyone will be too upset. All right. So, EA has been conspicuously absent from the basketball video game realm for the last couple years, working on their...
After they canceled the one.
Well, they had... Yeah, they went to NBA Elite, then it got canceled literally at the 11th hour. There are copies out there. Then this past year, it got canceled. Now, Kyrie Irving may have spilled the beans on NBA Live. Apparently, they're just getting rid of the Elite name because it was so bad PR. Jeez. It didn't even come out, and people know, like, oh, this is shitty.
Yeah.
So they're going back to the Live name. He apparently slipped this on Twitter.
Isn't there, like, a video of him playing it, though? So, like, they announced it afterwards? I thought this was kind of more formally announced. Maybe not.
I think the slip came first, and they're like, all right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you think? I mean, you've gotten a little more into basketball of late.
I like
Does
basketball. I don't know about basketball games so much. I still can't quite get into that. But, I mean, from what I understand, people like NBA 2K a lot.
That's the thing. It feels like it's not like NBA 2K sat on its laurels with no competition. I mean, they've apparently made, if you're into it, which I'm frankly not, but really good basketball video
now,
games.
Now, who makes the hockey game that everyone likes?
That's EA.
It's interesting that EA makes the football and hockey game everyone likes. 2K makes the basketball game everyone likes, and Sony makes the baseball game.
Yeah, well, football, they're the only ones who make
True. Well, does anyone else make a hockey game anymore? I can't imagine.
2K does.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's all 2K, right?
Yeah, it's just... They tried... The one thing they tried a few years ago that I really, really liked... It might have been 2K8 or 2K9. Where, like, all the sports video games are going for, like, broadcast presentations. They went for a movie presentation. Whereas, like, every game was, like, out of a hockey movie. So it had, like, cinematic music that built as the game went on and stuff like that.
I like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see someone else try that. I don't know, do you see yourself getting NBA Live when it comes out?
No. I didn't even get NBA 2. The problem with these games is that they always come out just because that's when the season starts in that fall period.
Yeah.
I'll get a great baseball game in March, no problem.
Yeah,
because
it's March.
What else are you doing? I'm not going to get a basketball game and play through a season in October.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. So, in a strange move, we have the announcement of Pokemon Black 2 and Pokemon White 2.
This is weird.
For the DS, not the 3DS, coming this summer in Japan and this fall in America.
I just don't know what this means.
It's a very quick turnaround.
It's got to be using all the same assets.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
So that's why it's on 3DS. But do you think, are there going to be new Pokemon? I mean, on the cover we see those are new Pokemon.
Well,
it's really just the legendary
Pokemon. Evolutions or combinations
or something? There's a legendary Pokemon mixed with the third one. Well, because you know how there's usually three. And I guess the third legendary Pokemon was Gray. So people always thought that there was going to be Pokemon Gray with that guy on it.
They usually do after.
Which, I mean, I guess it's good that,
they're trying something different.
Yeah,
I wish there would have been some more details of this. Because right now I'm just confused.
You know how it is. Right. Like, I'm not upset about this. It's just, I want to just, when you put two in there, I have certain expectations.
Well, let's play theorists. What do you think? Not even what you think. What would you like to see this be?
I would like to play a Pokemon game that is a long form RPG where it's not you're a young boy in a town, pick a Pokemon out of three, grass, fire, electric, and then beat 8 gym leaders and then beat the final four. Maybe this is their opportunity saying, look, we're going to branch off from that. Maybe you will literally just carry over your characters. Why not? And maybe there's going to be some sort of different form of story or something going
on
here.
So you're saying Pokemon goes Mass Effect a little here?
Well, with the transferring, maybe. Not with much else. And then they can do it so that if you didn't, almost kind of like in Pokemon City where you can just pick some Pokemon that are level 50 or whatever, and kind of just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, problems. I mean, because if you're going to start at 50, I mean, it wouldn't take you long before you hit max level at 99. Like, you'd have to up the level cap or do something different there.
And if not that, I don't know. I just want to see a game that plays very much like a traditional Pokemon game,
but the structure's different.
The structure completely different. Throw it out the window. And not that there's anything wrong with the Pokemon structure, but if you're going to take a chance here, then do that. Because, they're always going to make the next generation Pokemon game with a 3DS. That'll be kind of that same thing.
What are you saying? Like the reason this probably isn't a 3DS is because they like to wait till the system's installed.
There's that, yeah. Jasmine, my friend from Bitmaw, pointed out that you'll never see a Pokemon game come out too close to a system's launch because they want to make sure that there are a lot of that system out
there. Like the hardware has to kind of hit a critical mass
first. Right. Like, it's not a launch title. It's not a system to sell. It's not a game to sell systems. You need the system to sell games.
Right.
And, it will. But I mean, I when I think about this, it really can't just be like what we would expect Pokemon Gray to be. I hope not. If that's what it ends up being, like, it is Pokemon Gray, or, like the third iteration that always happens, and it's just they called it two for some reason.
And there's two of them, then.
Yeah, then I'll be kind of annoyed.
That'd be weird, yeah.
I wonder what happens if you play Pokemon White and you get Pokemon Black too.
That's assuming there is any connectivity between the two.
I feel like there's got to be something. I don't know. Maybe it's the same area, but you start as a boy in the big city, and you get an Eevee, and you go around and do it differently. I don't know. Just something.
They did say it'll have something unique if you play it on a DSi or a 3DS.
That's cool.
Probably something with the camera, honestly.
There's so many Pokemon at this point. It's not a big deal there won't be new Pokemon, or very many. I don't know.
I've lost track of them, There's too many now.
There's 600 something. My favorite internet meme, is that one with, it's The Rock from Escape to Witch Mountain.
Uh-huh.
You know this one?
No.
He's driving the car, and he's, just driving. He's, talking back to the kid in the backseat. He's like, I finally caught all 151 Pokemon. Then the girl's like, but there are 694 Pokemon now. And then The Rock just, has his face Like, he's just like, he just looks mind like, blown. So mad. Like, devastated. Like, he can't handle it. He's like, what do you mean? Why are there so many Pokemon? But basically, here's what it comes down to is Pokemon Black and White was fantastic. Really, really good. So, I'm sure it'll be good.
I should finish those.
You know, you think, I know a lot of people kind of grew out of Pokemon. I have not grown out of Pokemon, man. I love Pokemon.
I never finished Black because I think I did get a little tired of it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
So good.
I just never finished it.
I think you just got distracted. You get distracted.
Maybe.
There are plenty of good games you never beat, and it's not because they're bad. Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm excited.
Okay. So we have the whole Mass Effect balloon space thing.
Yes.
Do you see what these guys who got a copy tried to do?
Well, they tried to sell it, which is predictable.
No, they didn't try to sell it. They tried to raffle it, which is an altogether different thing.
That's kind of like gambling now.
Yes.
That's
well, what
good.
They wanted to do was sell raffle tickets at $5 a pop. Give like 20 or 30% of the money to Child's Play. Keep the rest so they could kickstart their own game development company. Now, A, how many raffle tickets do you think you're going to freaking sell?
I mean, this is ultimately to get a game that comes out, like, in a week. Now, what is there anything – is there something in this edition that, like
– I don't think so.
Like, yeah. So, it's a cool
but
marketing.
Here's the thing. That is incredibly illegal. You can have a raffle as long as 100% of the proceeds go to a charity. But if you're keeping any of it, that is against
that's
the
bad.
Law.
Just, I mean, if you want to sell it, just sell it. Put an eBay thing. I don't know.
Well, they think if they're going to fund a small game studio with this?
Yeah, how much are they going to sell this one early copy of Mass Effect 3?
Well, no, it wasn't a matter of selling it for one price. It was selling $5 raffle tickets.
I guess. I mean, even still, man.
Yeah, how many?
I get early copies of games. I'd be actually raffling them if I'm going to fund studios with it.
I mean, what? You might sell 100 of these? $500?
I'm joking, by the way.
Yeah, he's not breaking any laws yet.
Not yet.
But what's your overall sense of this publicity stunt after the first balloon got stuck in a tree 150 feet in the air?
Someone got it down. I don't know. It is what it is. It's a cute little thing. Don't make too much out of it. I don't know how much extra publicity it got out for it. I don't know if it made any like the national news things. But hey, whatever. It's fun. Different.
They had to
it
expect
makes sense.
That people try to profit from this.
Oh, I assume that they are not naive. When does this come out, finally? Like
March 6th, a week tomorrow.
Oh, that soon?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know.
I gotta get money. Cool, beans.
The same day as the show.
What? Oh. What show?
MLB, the show.
Oh. That show. I was like, what show? What show?
You look really confused.
What show are we going to?
That's great. You're like, what?
I do love me my MLB, the show. That might have to wait a little bit.
I love play my Vita copy. Oh,
that's going to be so good on the Vita.
I know.
Just because it's going to be the game.
I know. Last story. Did you see this?
The last story.
I should have saved that for last. Did you see this article now on Kotaku written by some guy?
I saw Stephen Totilo talk about it.
Okay, so they had some guy who I guess is some comedian and writer write this article about how he moved out of his parents' house at the age of 20, decorated his entire apartment with Sonic the Hedgehog stuff, including Sonic the Hedgehog bed sheets. Then he basically brags about how he had sex in this bed. It was trying to be this, like, funny article, but, like, a lot of people took it to mean, like, what, gamers are only, like, straight men who like to have sex? Like, you're stereotyping us, you're offending us.
Wait, where does the straight thing come in?
Because he's having sex with women.
Well, what should he say? Should he have said, I could have had sex with... I mean, I'm sure a lot of that was picked up in the tone. But
honestly, they should
it doesn't sound sexist from what you're telling me.
The guy comes off as kind of cocky in the article. It's, like,
okay.
Quit just, you know, don't be nervous. Just be confident. You can have sex with whoever you want.
I mean, I'm just... Okay, I'm... not that this is a great piece of journalism or whatever it is. What are people's standards or expectations for Kotaku?
Well, that's my question. Like, here's the thing.
Anymore.
When I go to Destructoid, I mean, Jim Sterling pisses me off, and everything has a sarcastic tone, but
the whole
site is like that. You know that's what you're going to get when you go to Destructoid. On Kotaku, you have shit like this, but then you've got Stephen Totilo.
They have an identity
who
crisis.
Wants to be, like, this very hardcore, serious journalist, and then you got Brian Ashcroft posting cosplay pictures from Japan. It's all over the place. And now they're like, oh, just use the Kotaku core. That's just the gaming articles. That's just
Does anyone use that?
I don't. Like, they announced it. Peter Kay did that joke about it, and like you don't hear about it anymore. I just don't understand.
Kotaku lost me when they changed their site design.
Yeah, it's a weird design, but that's not even here or there. They just don't have a voice.
I mean, Kotaku's under a lot of criticism because they are number one. At least they were. I don't know if they still are.
I don't know if that's the case. But
we kind of want them to do good by us. But
now here's the other thing. I think we talked about this before a little bit, but again, this started another Twitter pissing match between journalists. I mean, Jim Sterling was yelling at Kotaku this time.
Oh, God. These guys got to stop doing that shit.
That's what I said.
That's really weird.
It seems unprofessional to me.
It is.
But again, then some of them will take the defense, oh, we're not really journalists. We're just writers for entertainment. Well, but then the other one's like, no, I'm a journalist.
A lot of it is a lot of these people, they're selling. And that's always kind of been my criticism of Jim Sterling, is that I feel like sometimes he's out more for Jim Sterling than Destructoid. He's done a very good job of branding himself. Well, and that's what a lot of these people do.
If you even look at his Twitter profile, it says he's a reviews editor for Destructoid, he hosts the Jimquisition on Escapist, and he's a freelancer. Like, he's not exclusive to Destructoid. But, right. I mean, Stephen Totillo is the editor-in-chief of Kotaku. So that means everything that gets published on that site, in theory, goes through him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, he's definitely responsible.
And then, they even, posted out, they updated the article with a little paragraph at the end that Totillo wrote, apologizing and saying they didn't mean to offend anybody. It's almost like, well, you didn't take it down, because it's generating hits, obviously, so you're not going to do that.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's so many controversial articles on Kotaku, you kind of wonder if this is all planned. I'm not much for conspiracy theories, but it's like, get gamers mad. Step two, profit.
In a similar vein, what'd you think of that on the Penny Arcade report where Ben Cachera got that little audio thing between Totillo and David Jaffe?
I mean, it's very weird because I never read that article in question, but basically,
well, should we explain the?
Yeah, basically, some a new girl from Kotaku wrote
She's the one who wrote the article about Jaffe talking about getting blowjobs on Valentine's Day for playing Twisted Metal.
Right, and it's like, okay, that's crass, but she kind of went to the conclusion that said he's a sexist,
a misogynist,
or whatever, and. Maybe that was also too far a leap. But the argument, I mean, I almost want to side with Jaffe, but when he talks, he just comes off as so unlikable. Just cussing.
Yeah,
grossly.
I know. Everyone's like, oh, that's just the way he is. It's like, well, listen, if you're trying
to... I always hate that fucking excuse.
Yeah.
I hate that
as
shit.
As you say, that fucking excuse.
Yeah.
But I'm not a body mouth. If you're an industry professional and you're trying to make a cogent argument with another one of your peers, you can't start talking like a 12-year-old
middle
school.
I just mean in general. I always hate people who say, well, that's just the way I am and I can't change for the better.
Yes,
oh,
you can.
Now. Yeah. Please.
You know what? When you talk to your parents, you don't start swearing at them. You censor yourself unless you're a douche, but...
Just all these 400-pound, lazy people say, we're like, oh, it's just the way I am. No.
No.
All right. Is that it?
That is it.
All right, we're going to do this.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked well. Vita 3DS Battle Royale.
Hit me.
All right, so I'm just going to kind of say things. You've had more experience than I have. I'll throw my 2 cents. Will you tell me which one does it better?
Okay, should I elaborate as well, I assume?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so one, comfort. Which system feels better in your hands?
Right now, well, okay. I'm going to go from a list of bottom to top. Bottom is the 3DS. The middle is the Vita. And just a hair above that is the 3DS and a Surfacad Pro.
You actually think that feels even
and
better
than I haven't
than
used it extensively. No. But it felt really damn good that time I played with it for about 15 minutes.
Nice. The problem is, because it makes it so big that then there's depth to it. It's almost
It's the depth.
You know what it's kind of like? It's like holding a Game Gear.
Yeah.
The problem is that it kills the portability of it.
Yeah, but at that point, I mean, it's not like the Vita's portable anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's portable, but not to the extent of, back in the day we had a Game Boy Pocket. We literally just threw it in our pocket, oh, fuck it.
Right. With the 3DS, I mean, playing, Mario Kart, for example, where you have to have your fingers on both triggers all the time, my hand cramps like a bitch. It hurts. It actually hurts. The Vita only really hurts if you try to play it lying down. Because you have to rest the weight of the system in an awkward way. But if you're sitting and you could get the weight underneath you, your last three fingers, it's fine. I have no discomfort at all. But yeah, that circle pad just lets me actually grip the system.
Right.
Rather than just kind of letting it rest on my hand and like wherever I could stick out fingers.
Might be a good place to talk about the Circle Pad Pro in general, but I do really like that thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of amazed at how comfortable it was. It's not as hard to reach the face buttons as I thought it
would
be.
The only negatives about it is that the second analog stick is kind of placed awkwardly next to the face buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little weird. And, the screen is, not centered now.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about it, is how, like, the whole thing's off-center.
You get over it, but it's nice because it adds that other pad, but more, you get two extra buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with Metal Gear Solid 3D, for instance, it just plays exactly how it would have played on the PS2.
Right.
It's great.
The other thing, too, trying to use the D-pad on the 3DS is just folly.
So, like,
that thing is so uncomfortable, because it's just...
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Well, when you look
at the Vita D-pad, do you like that?
Oh, I love it. Well, here's the thing. When you look at, like, the Vita or a PS3 controller, the analog stick, which is below the D-pad on those systems, it's not just down, it's inward a bit. Because when you rotate your thumb that way, that's the way your thumb goes.
Right.
But on the 3DS, that analog, the D-pad is directly below the analog stick. So not only do you have to, like, drop your thumb down, but you have to, like, bend it and twist your hand differently. It's just not comfortable. And it's such a tiny little D-pad.
So, now, I don't know who you want me to give a point to here.
Give it to the Vita.
All right. Because I guess you have to spend an extra $20 to make the 3DS comfortable.
And, yeah, not every game even works with that thing.
All right. Games library.
Huh.
I mean, if you go by launch.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's more. Let's splinter. Let's do launch and let's do overall. To be fair, I guess. Launch, hands down, it's the Vita. I mean, what did we have at launch in 3DS? Street Fighter.
Street Fighter was the biggest game. Pilot Wings. Yeah. And
Pilot Wings is
more,
fun.
More Nintendogs, which everyone was over.
Yeah.
And there's like that Steel Diver. It was not a good launch.
No. I mean, the Vita, you've got Uncharted. You've got Wipeout. You've got Luminous. You've got Rayman. You've got Ultimate Marvelous Combat.
It's one of the Capcom, best, from software perspective, system launches I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it's familiar territory, but they're all really solid.
Right. It's like... You have a lot of eights in there, I guess you would say.
Right. So basically you're asking, do two Mario games and a 3D Zelda beat that?
Port.
Yeah. The 3D Zelda port and a new Mario Kart.
And you have, like, the Metal Gear port and...
Yeah. It's close.
Mario Kart is nice.
It is, but it's familiar.
Land.
It's very familiar.
It is. Oh, yeah, all of it is. But hey, so same thing with Vita.
Yeah, I know. Mean, that's the thing.
You're playing the new Luminous, the new... Wipeout, the new Uncharted.
The difference is, you're playing a new Mario Kart that looks like the same graphics that we've had since 2002. Whereas, you're playing a new Uncharted that pretty well looks like the new Uncharted that came out, you know, a few months ago.
There's a difference. You can tell.
Yeah, you can, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, playing Wipeout, you know, you look at Rayman Origins on that thing. Like, the 3DS version of Rayman Origins, I can't imagine what that's going to look like compared to this.
Are they making that? That's right, they are. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just go ahead and give the point to hardware right now to Vita, because we know it's got better graphics. It's got a bigger engine inside it.
Well,
let's stay with games right now, then.
Okay, yeah, stay with the games, because the immediate right now, because, I mean, Mario Land 3D, Mario 3D on whatever it is, friggin' incredible.
That was ridiculously
good. I mean, that game alone, it's the most original game in any handheld, so I'll give it to 3DS for now.
What's on the horizon for Vita?
Well, you've got the new Resistance coming out. Mm-hmm. That could be good. You're going to have MLB The Show, which I'm extremely excited for.
There's going to be a lot of, even more with the PSP, there's going to be a lot of games that are going to come out for the Vita and the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that for DS. So hardware then. What chance can 3DS
now,
have?
Are you talking strictly the physical design of it? Because are we going to get into like the software of the system itself at all?
Like kind of the stuff that comes with it?
Like the user interface and setting?
User interface is a different thing.
Okay.
It's just like the hardware. That's actually next.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hands down the Vita. You've got far more powerful hardware. You have actual analog sticks, not some slide pad or anything.
I don't mind the pads on the 3DS.
I don't mind it as much as the 3DS.
It's not as nice, no, for sure.
But yeah, having sticks is really, really nice. The back touch, you know, I mean, as a functional input device, it works. I've yet to see too many games that use it effectively, with a few nice ideas I'll talk about later. The buttons, I think, feel really good. The face buttons, the D-pad. It's just a well-built system. I really like it.
Okay, interface.
Okay. The 3DS's interface is terrible. It's so just basic. It just automatically organizes everything in order with no categorization, which the Vita really doesn't do either, but everything's so tiny on that screen, it's hard to find stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get these little itty-bitty icons. Then just navigating through the system, I mean, you have to have the stylus for so much of that stuff. So you gotta get out the damn stylus, go through all this stuff. It's just... I don't know. It just feels
the Vita
clunky.
Does a weird thing though, where when you put in a new game, there's not like you have like those little bubbles to play games.
Yeah,
it doesn't have like the play disc bubble. It installs a bubble for every game you put into your system.
It looks like if you in theory own 20 Vita game cartridges, you would have 20 icons on your screen.
You have to go through and find. Which
seems
like
it's
excessive.
Weird. Like, I don't see why they... Like, I don't know if there's anything that maybe... None of these games I have do, but maybe down the road, it can do a mini install of something where you can just check out leaderboards or do something without having the cartridge in. But as of right now, yeah, it creates a little bit of clutter.
Do you like the new interface better than the cross-media bar?
Oh, yeah. It's basically a bigger iPhone interface. Bigger meaning it takes up a little more space because the screen's smaller. But the biggest thing about like the user interface and everything in the Vita is how well it handles just multitasking. Where when you have something open, it creates additional pages off to the side that you could swipe to. To close something, you just like grab the corner like it's a sticker and you're tearing it off. And you could actually manage to multitask a lot of things. Like you could have a game running, hit the PlayStation button, open up the PlayStation Store, start a download, and go back to your game. That's pretty good. Same thing with, you know, messaging, friends list, the music app, everything like that. On the 3DS, I think you can open up the web browser, and that's really it. It all just feels very good.
So, Point Vita?
Yeah.
All right.
It's the best software design Sony's ever done. It's not perfect, but it's the best they've done.
All right. Memory.
Meaning, like, storage?
Yeah.
You gotta give it to 3DS because it uses SD cards.
Right. It uses a standard... It doesn't use, like, a... Well, what's the word?
Proprietary
system, and they're not stupid expensive.
Oh, I know. I mean, a 32-gigabyte SD card that would work with for the 3DS, you could get for, like, $20-$30. The 32-gig on the Vita is $100. And they do not, like, the fact that games require it, like, literally games, some games won't even play if you don't have a card. The fact that it doesn't even at least come with, like, just throw in a 1 gig card just so you have something at least.
Yeah, that's pretty
That's kind of crap. Because the thing is, I saw this happen at GameStop the other day. And I almost intervened, but I kept my mouth shut. You know, this kid was there. He was doing a bunch of trade-ins. He was going to get a Vita. And the guy said, do you want the 3G or the Wi-Fi? And the kid was like, I don't know. And the guy's like, well, I mean, the 3G is going to come with a 4 gig card. You can get a free game. So you're kind of really paying like another $20. Well, I don't need the card. And the guy's like, you sure? Because like the card would be like, it's $40 or $30 for this card, but $50 more for this. He goes, nah, I'll just get the Wi-Fi. And he just left. I'm thinking, what game did he get? Because he probably needs a card. He doesn't know that. He's going to get home,
right,
try to play this game, and it's not going to work. And he's not even going to know why. Like, that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Gimmicks.
Gimmicks. Oh, God. Well, they both systems come with a little deck of AR cards. There's some free games you could download on the PSN for that. I think they're just already built into the 3DS. That's a gimmick they both share. I don't see anyone doing anything particularly great with it, but you never know. No one has yet to in a 3DS, and that's been out for almost a year.
Right.
3D, you could call the gimmick on a 3DS.
Yeah.
You got
still have two screens.
Yeah. You've got the back touch and front touch as gimmicks on the Vita. I mean, the biggest thing, though, they both have touch screens, but it's the difference between a resistive touch screen and a 3DS, meaning you pretty much need a stylus, and a capacitive multi-touch touchscreen on the Vita, what an iPhone is. That is huge. Huge.
Yeah, but you just kind of threw aside the fact that the 3DS is in 3D.
I did.
Are you, like, over it?
I am, and I was always a very staunch supporter and defender of 3D, but...
Like, you just threw that aside. It's 3D without glasses.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not like I've been playing the Vita. I mean, man, if only this was in 3D.
Oh, well, sure.
You know?
It's not something you miss when it's not there, as with a lot of gimmicks.
True.
For gimmicks. But don't you do appreciate that when I think you have it. At least, I know a lot of people hate 3D, but I still think it's
cool. Yeah, I still do, too.
I still liked it in, like, the Metal Gear 3D.
So, basically, we're saying, is it worth it to have that 3D screen, or is it worth it to have a multi-touch front screen and back?
Okay, but have you used that multi-touch front screen in a lot of games in interesting ways yet?
A couple ways in Uncharted I've liked.
Uncharted uses a lot of the gimmicks, almost as if it was its duty to.
Yeah, I'm going to go into that more later. That's a complaint. But, okay, I'll give you an example of something that was really good. There's a demo for a game that I personally never heard of until I downloaded it called Unit 13, which is being made by Zipper, the guys who did SOCOM. It's a third-person shooter, very score-based. Like, you know, segmented off missions, you go for high scores. One of the things it does that was amazing to me is when you go to use a sniper rifle, you just slide up and down on that back touch to zoom in and out. And it felt great. Like, I was like, oh my god, this is why this is here. Literally so I could do that. I loved it. I was like, I want any game with a sniper rifle to do this. Because it's perfect.
All right, so who are you going to give gimmicks to?
I'm talking because I'm thinking.
This seems like a clear cut to Nintendo for me, but you're conflicted.
I strangely am. I mean, do you count a second analog stick as a gimmick? I don't know.
No, not really. Besides, you already threw in the Circle Pad Pro into consideration earlier.
That's true. So that's a gimmick you have to buy.
Well, I could still say it's still cheaper than a Vita.
Yeah, it is. That is true. It's just not supported in everything.
Yeah.
I guess if we're going to, yeah, with the consideration of 3D, is that enough?
You're always a big component of 3D.
I know, but
like, what else is the Vita really doing just because it has a back touch?
It has an incredible screen.
Yeah, it's got a big screen,
but
that's
not... You can't understand how pretty that, well, yes, you can. You've seen it, that screen is so good.
It's a nice screen.
And the thing is, I mean, you get the 3D in the 3DS, but it can be a little bit of a pixelated mess sometimes. I noticed this playing Peace Walker. When you have all the foliage and everything going on the
screen. Peace Walker.
Or not Peace Walker, Snake Eater. With all that foliage and everything and the relative low resolution of that screen.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, but that does not happen on the Vita. It's so crisp and clear.
Well, that's largely because of the better hardware.
Yeah.
That's not a gimmick, that's hardware.
I guess. All right, fine. I'll give it to the 3DS just because, you know, I do like 3D.
Throw another tie. So here's the last one. Future. Which system has the brighter future?
I think the Vita does.
You think the Vita does?
Yes.
What about all the reports that people are in Japan are throwing it aside and...
The Xbox is doing okay.
Oh, right. That's true.
And as soon as the Monster Hunter game comes out for that thing...
Is it, though? Because they're committed to making Monster Hunter 3, or whichever one's the next
one. 3G is already out. That was like a quick
one.
And
that made a $1 billion already, and then 4 is going to be a 3.
I'm sure it'll happen. It has the history on the platform, which I know people said the same thing about Final Fantasy twice.
So you think...
Here's
you think in a year, in America, the Vita will be more popular than the 3DS? Or that you'll enjoy your Vita more in a year?
I think I might enjoy it more. Here's why. Like any Nintendo system before it, that 3DS is going to become my Nintendo player. I have no doubt of that.
Now, the portable systems have always had much better third-party support.
But here's the thing. You now have a system that is not only going to be able to have games from any generation currently out there, 3DS, Wii, PS3, 360, ported to it, maintaining their look. You're also going to have...
Yeah, but are those portable games? It'd be the devil's advocate argument now. You're playing console games on your portable system.
As long as the game makes sense. Like, for example, if they did SSX on the Vita, I'd buy that over any platform. I think that'd be the one to get. You know? Because you could just do a quick run, upload your scores, do all that. Right. It'd be perfect. When you think of, especially in regard to third-party support, again, to make a game on the Vita, if you've already made it in the other systems, you can release it on the Vita relatively easily. To make that same game on a 3DS, you got to possibly down-res the graphics. You got to consider how you're going to implement 3D. You got to think about the second screen now. There's a lot more that has to be done. A lot of developers are going to wonder if it's worth it, or worse, maybe, they half-ass it. So, I mean, especially from a third-party point of view, I think the Vita's got a huge advantage.
Why is the Vita not going to have the same problems in America that the PSP had?
Piracy was a big thing, obviously, for the PSP. That's why a lot of people stayed away from the system.
I mean, I don't think we ever knew a person, like, besides people on the internet, who owned a PSP. Did you know anybody, like, personally, who owned a PSP?
No, but who did we really know who had a DS?
Oh, playing people. PJ had a DS. I think Kevin had one. I don't know. I could think of people. You're playing on the spot.
No one I know well had either. So I just don't think I'm very many friends with people who would be interested in gaming.
We don't know enough 12-year-old boys.
that took a second for me to process. I don't know, and then just...
I don't know, you picked the Vita.
Yeah, it, plus, the, I mean, it's going to have a far more robust digital presence. I mean, you could already
oh,
get...
Oh, yeah, I guess.
There's the one game, what's it called? Giant Monster... It's something about space blobs. It's like $8, but it has like a 5-star rating on the PSN. It's supposed to be really, really good. I'm probably going to end up getting it this week.
So, all right. So, just so you know, you picked Vita over the 3DS 4-3.
All right.
So, AJ says, I probably agree with you with everything on but future. I would say 3DS, so I would ultimately pick the 3DS, but hey.
Right now, it's got a price advantage. That always helps.
Oh, yeah. And I just think, I just worry that this is going to become another PSP where it's just not going to be that popular, and so support will be hurt.
All right. So, shall I,
Yeah, tell me about your game.
Games now? Okay. Would you like me to start with Uncharted or what?
Sure. I always start with Uncharted.
Okay, Uncharted. So, Bend, the studio behind this one, they've managed to create a pretty good Uncharted game. And then they put a whole lot of bullshit in it. And it's a shame, because you can see through the bullshit, and you can see the good Uncharted game beneath. But God, there's a lot of bullshit.
Like, a lot.
A lot. Okay, so... You know, straight up, I mean, it's most similar to Uncharted 1 for its setting, because it's just one location. It's not a globe-trotting adventure. Mm-hmm. You're in, you know, ruins in Latin America or something like that. So it feels tonally a lot like Uncharted 1.
Right.
And just like the same thing, Uncharted 1 did this too, where it had, like, they felt like they had to throw in every gimmick of the PS3.
Right, a lot of six-axis crap.
Right, and that all disappeared, and it disappeared for a reason. It wasn't very good. And they brought it all back, but made it even worse, if you can believe it.
Nice.
So you've got your classic example of the balancing as you walk across a log. Now, at least when you did it in the PS3 version of the first game, you kept moving and you just kind of had to wobble your controller a bit. What happens here is you're walking across a log, and then halfway, Nathan just like, whoa, loses his balance, and stops. While you do the mini game to get your balance back,
yeah,
and then you proceed.
Even Metal Gear 3D does the same thing now when, like, you're on a branch or
something. Yeah, and we'll talk about that later, because that pissed me off. But it just comes to a complete stop, and it's like, okay, kids, it's tilting time. And here's the thing, too. It doesn't fucking work every time. I've fallen to my death twice.
And those things never work all that
like,
well.
Like, the thing starts going to the right. I have the Vita at a 90-degree angle the other way, and I just fucking fall.
I always hate that crap.
It pisses me off. And that's the thing. All these gimmicks... Not all, but pretty much all of them, most of them, cause a complete stoppage in play. When you have to use the touch directions with the machete to cut through stuff, it'll be like, hey, swipe to the left, okay. Now swipe diagonal right, okay. Now swipe up, okay. Now watch Nathan as he repeats the motions you just put in. Like, why isn't he doing it as I'm swiping?
Also, does it really matter which way he cuts it?
No! But that's the thing, too. It's like... I could see if, like, as I was swiping from right to left, like, Nathan cut right to left, like, that could be okay. But it's like, foo, 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 okay, now watch him go, foo, foo, foo.
Right.
It's just, it feels disconnected. When you get into fights now, because they're the same thing, motion-controlled fights, or touch-controlled fights. You hit the button, the fight initiates. It is now an unskippable minigame. The bad guys are still shooting you. They're throwing grenades at you.
Nice.
And you know, and this would happen in a PS3 game. That was part of the tactical choice. Do you take the time to punch this guy, knowing that everyone else is shooting at you? And maybe you throw a punch, and you're like, oh, shit, and you break off and run away.
You can't, like, cancel
You can't fight. Break off. Ah. You're committed. And a lot of the time, you don't even initiate it. They come up to you and start it. So, that's stupid. I'm trying to think what else... Yeah, had going
I know
on.
You were complaining before because he had to, like, search items.
Oh, God. Okay, so first there's, like, the charcoal rubbing. You do this 4 times in a row at the very beginning. You, like, cross a bridge, and then each corner of the bridge is, like, a statue. You got to get the charcoal rubbing. There's no challenge. There's no skill. It's just 100%.
Okay, like, look, we have a touchscreen.
Pretty much. Then you get to this part where you're tossed a helmet. And they want you to identify. And Nate says, yeah, usually the company insignia is on the front or the back. Okay. So I go to the front of this helmet, and I rub it, and there's nothing there. So you use the back touch to rotate. I go to the back. There's the symbol. Nothing's happening. Oh, God, there's a percentage meter at the top of the screen. You now have to rotate this fucking thing around and rub off every inch of dust.
It sounds a lot like early Nintendo DS stuff. Like, back when, like, at least back then, like, touchscreen gaming was kind of new.
Yeah.
Now it's like, we have our DS, we have our iPhone, like, this is what are you doing?
Okay, now listen, at least that, like, I could see what I was doing. Immediately after that, you're tossed a skull. Because you're trying to figure out, like what killed all these people in this grave site. And this girl's like, yeah, check it out. You're like, okay. In this case, now I got to back touch to rotate the skull. As I'm looking at it, the meter's filling, the percentage meter. I have looked at every freaking angle of this skull. That thing is stuck at 90%. I don't know what I haven't looked at. And here's the other thing, too. I don't see anything on this goddamn skull. So I'm just spinning it randomly now until finally it clicks. And that's, like, the big revelation. There is nothing wrong with it, which I guess meant these guys were poisoned, not bludgeoned to death.
Oh.
Okay. Now, here's the thing.
Why can't you say that?
In any other Uncharted game, if this were to, be, like, happen, they could be like, yeah, look for yourself. And then they just go, huh, there's no marks on it. And, like, it would just
don't
keep
people,
going.
Don't people complain about that sometimes? Say, oh, you're not playing.
This is not what I wanted. Don't listen to those assholes. Please. They're the reason we had a shitty boss fight at the end of Uncharted 2. So, like, it's just, it's filler, it's stupid, it's boring, it's not fun.
That boss fight wasn't that bad.
But I'm talking about the Vita shit here.
I know. I'm just saying, I just wanted to defend the Uncharted 2.
I mean, like the using a touchscreen to drag your path on the climbing handhold, I have no problem
with
that.
That's cool.
And it's completely optional. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fighting, there's no, like, would you like to fight with the touchscreen or the buttons? It's just a touchscreen.
But it's still an Uncharted game, right? It's still fun. You still like it, right?
Yeah.
But
I just, it could have been, that's the thing.
I mean, it just sounds like
as a handheld game, it's like, oh my God, this is incredible. But the thing is, and this is the challenge a lot of developers will face in the Vita. You're not being compared now to just handhelds.
You're compared to
You're
Uncharted
comparing
3.
This to the other three Uncharted games that are out there and are pretty fucking good.
Right.
So you have to kind of live up to that.
You think like a lot of it's just that Bend is not Naughty Dog? And they can't make a smart decision.
I don't know. Like, there's a really interesting interview with them on 1UP about the making of this game, like how it came to be. And he was responding to basically everything I just said coming out of the Japanese reviews for the game. He's like, oh, yeah, everyone's like, oh, Sony made them do this. No, this was our decision. And he, like, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, these features are there, so you have to use them. Otherwise, it's no different from the PlayStation 3 game. I'm like, okay, you guys are idiots. Just because it's there does not mean you have to use
right,
it.
Right, yeah, it makes
this
no
is,
sense.
This would be like a film editor who's like, oh, wow, there's all these effects in Final Cut. I better use them all. No, you use what you need. What's going to make your game better? And you know what? If it played exactly like Uncharted 3 did, same controls
yeah,
and everything.
Complain.
But the thing is, I'm playing it in my hand on a 5-inch screen. I can take anywhere in the world. That's pretty good. That's a good enough reason for it to be different. And also, just as a little thing, in all the menus, you have to use the damn touchscreen.
Oh.
Here's the thing.
I know it's a lot of the Vita things, like you have to use the touchscreen.
When I'm playing this game, I'm holding the Vita like a controller. My thumbs are positioned over the analog sticks, fingers up in the triggers. You could kind of reach to the middle of the touchscreen with an individual thumb, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And I've got relatively big hands. Every input on that touchscreen interface is at the dead fucking center.
Yeah, figures.
It's just so dumb.
All right.
The only thing I really like is you can use the gyroscope for aiming. And what I've set it to is there's an auto aim. So when you hit the left trigger, it snaps. Call of Duty actually does this. So you hit the left trigger to snap to a guy. And then I use the gyroscope to fine tune it to a headshot.
That's nice.
That works pretty well.
That's good.
That could have been good. Just leave it there.
So...
Still, right. I just ripped it a new one, but still.
Yeah, it sounds like you're very negative, but you still like it.
But still, it's an Uncharted game. Right. I mean,
it's hard formula.
When the title screen comes up and that theme starts playing, you're like, fuck yes, we're going to play Uncharted on this handheld. This is awesome. The vistas look gorgeous. The foliage is good. The motion capture is all there. The animations.
How are the new
movement
characters
controls.
Real quick? You like them?
I'm not too far in. The one guy, I mean... I can't believe this guy's going to betray me.
Yeah, that's what he seems like, that guy.
Oh, dude.
Right, it's like him. And then, curse you and your inevitable betrayal.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's this girl in it now. I mean, she kind of feels like, oh, they didn't want to put Elena in this because
It's a prequel.
It's not. They're very nondescript about when this takes place. I mean, even like in their interviews, they're like, "Oh, we didn't really want to peg this anywhere."
Why do people not want to do that?
It's a narrative-driven game. This isn't fucking Zelda, okay?
If people are so like nervous about playing their games in a timeline, why?
Why? It makes
like, we can't commit.
Oh, well, guess what? Now that means your games make any fucking sense.
All right. Talk to me about Wipeout now.
I fucking love Wipeout.
Yeah, I know you.
Oh my god! Like,
please don't talk to me too much about Wipeout because I get a little bored when you talk about Wipeout.
I'm not. I
know what Wipeout is. What's better about this version?
I'll see this thing. The only one I've ever owned.
Is it just Super Wipeout?
I guess cool? The only one I've ever really owned is HD on the PlayStation. Even that, I really just played the Zone mode, which is where it, like, constantly accelerates you faster and faster, and the graphics are all like trippy.
Right.
Just the thing is, the reason why I like this better in some ways as a Vita game, and when you play it, you know your time commitment. I know that when I start a race, it's going to take me 3 to 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get interrupted or something, it's no big deal. I like playing Uncharted on the Vita, but the thing is, I don't know when I start to play it, am I just going to be in 5 minutes of platforming that I could stop easily, or is a 7-minute cutscene going to start?
Right.
None of them are that long.
Well, sure, yeah. Racing game is definitely much better for portable gaming.
And it's got the asynchronous leaderboard thing going on for it. It's gorgeous to look at. It's a shame it's not at 60 frames. It's only at 30, but it still feels plenty fast.
That's kind of weird, because Mario Kart is at, like, 60 frames.
Right. I mean, there's a lot going on. The backgrounds are crazy detailed.
It was a million times better, like that guy promised?
They're better, but they're still pretty shitty.
Yeah.
If they could do anything to improve that still post-release, that'd be nice, but... Man, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that wasn't a goal to fix that and fix it now. Because it's, on a handheld especially, it's kind of bad.
Right.
But the one thing that's cool that I like they do is in the multiplayer campaign, you just enter into random races, but everybody gets a unique set of objectives. So maybe in a particular race, your objective is to finish at least third and hit one opponent with a weapon. And maybe someone who's higher level than you, they have to destroy somebody and finish first to get their objective because they're higher along in their campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But you're all playing the same race.
That's kind of neat, though.
It's really cool. I like that a lot. This game has a touchscreen interface for its UI, but it works because it floats. I didn't mind it as much.
Did you try gyroscope steering?
I have not. I
do you have any interest in that?
I honestly can't see how that could possibly work in this game. It's so fast and twitchy.
Right.
That said, playing with the analog stick, fantastic. Just do yourself a favor. Change the default controls from Racer to Wipeout. And the Wipeout controls, left and L and R triggers, are the air brakes in that direction. You need that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just squares like a general air brake, and it doesn't work as well.
Right.
I played every demo that's on this thing. Like I said, Unit 13 was really good.
That. Basically, it's like a third-person shooter, but it's cool because it's like the first time really where, oh, yeah, we have 2 sticks now, we can do this kind of thing.
Well, it's cool. Their use of the touchscreen is basically to put utility actions in the bottom right corner of the touchscreen right by where your thumb
basically
is.
Basically making them buttons, and they work really well.
Yeah, and it's easy to hit them, and it's very smart.
Rayman Origins looks really
Rayman
good.
Rayman Origins looks gorgeous on this thing. It's a shame there's no multiplayer in that, though, which is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But, it's still super fun. And what they do to kind of help make up for that deficit, if anything's in a bubble, like a collectible, you could tap it. And if bad guys are, like, ballooned and floating upwards, you could tap them to pop them.
Oh, that's
so that's
cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
I played Hustle Kings, which is the most urban thug pool game ever made. it's a pool game. There's no great surprises there. It looks pretty, I guess. Luminous.
I never got Luminous.
I did, and I just think I'm bored with it now. The thing is...
I never understood Luminous.
The reason I have a hard time... Maybe it's because I'm not good. I don't feel like I get very far, and I hear like the same first 2 songs, and that's it.
I don't know. I remember when Luminous was like the big thing, and everyone just kept talking about how Luminous...
It was something new in the puzzle genre.
I don't see how it's that new and exciting to me. I don't know. I never understood what people were freaking out about. I thought Meteos on the DS was a million times better.
That was really good.
Whatever.
The hell else did I play? FIFA impressed me a little bit for this reason only. I suck at soccer, because I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You can use the back screen to kick in a direction, right?
Yeah, but it's... If you want to kick a shot to the upper right post, you tap on the upper right, hold it down for your shot power release. If you want to go bottom left, you do that. So no matter where your position, doesn't matter where the camera is, where your character is, You always know where you're aiming at that goalpost.
That's cool.
It's very intuitive. I like that a lot. What other demos did I play, Mike?
I don't know.
They were all on the screen.
I mean, you've been playing Maverick Hunter X a lot.
Yeah, I downloaded that. It's such a fucking great game.
That was the PSP Mega Man X remake.
Which I wanted to do, really, too, to see how the PSP emulation is. It's great. You got to turn on the bilinear filter.
Sure, because it suddenly looks like you're playing a PSP game, because it kind of has, like, that interface again when you save and stuff.
Right. But yeah, you turn on the filtering, and it looks great on that screen. And that's such a good game. And it's cool. You can map the right analog stick to either replicate the D-pad, the analog stick, or the face buttons. So if you have a game like Peace Walker, which I don't know if you're able to download it yet or not. You should be able to in the future. You can now map those face buttons or a camera down to the analog stick.
Did everybody forget about Portable Ops, by the way?
Yes. I feel like there's one more demo I played that I wanted to talk about. What the fuck was it?
You talked a lot about the Vita. You're good. Okay. You remember later. Do you want to hear... Want to hear about Metal Gear Solid 3D?
Yes.
It's really cool.
You don't say.
I mean, well, you know, it's... First off, I like Snake Eater a lot, and I still like Snake Eater a lot. I thought maybe this time... This is the third time I'm playing through it, because I played through it, like, maybe like a year or so after it came out, like the subsistence version. I couldn't get into the... I can't even imagine that game without, like, the camera.
Oh, I know.
But, and I loved it then, and then I played it again before 4 came out, just for fun, which was... That's kind of a while ago now, huh?
Yeah.
When'd that come out, 08?
08.
Really, that was 4 years ago. Wow. But it still really does hold up. I mean, there is a lot of talking. There's no way to get around that. There is a lot of kind of cutscenes and stuff. But it's an interesting story this time. And, it does get a little melodramatic, but it's a human story.
It makes fucking sense.
Right, it's a human story. It's about relationships between characters. So you get into it. And some of, like, the revisionist history stuff's kind of neat. Like, oh, it turns out that Bay of Pigs is actually about this. And
right.
It's neat. It's fun. But without the Circle Pad Pro, the controls, it controls very much like Peace Walker did, which is serviceable at best. With that Circle Pad Pro, though, like I said, you get the extra 2 shoulder buttons. You have the other stick. It just plays exactly
like
that.
So are you pretty much saying spend the $20
and get the Circle Pad Pro. Like I said, it feels comfortable, too. I'm a proponent of the Circle Pad Pro, giving it a thumbs up.
Very good.
But, it's like we talked about the demo, like just like the interface changes and stuff like that. Really, though, the game holds up.
I didn't notice the frame rate to be as bad as you made it out to be.
You know, it's a common complaint. I think the frame rate is just about as good as it ever was. I think people will think, like, maybe it should be better. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. The reason to get this over the HD remake that came out on the consoles and will be ported to the Vita, because they don't have this, and I don't think the Vita version will, crouch walking.
Biggest thing
Hallelujah.
Ever.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, basically, which was...
In 4.
It was in 4. Now that's just in here. Oh, that's nice. And I did the thing where, like, I took a picture and I made it my camo. It was kind of funny. Those frogs you could shoot?
Yeah, they're Yoshis.
There's
now,
Yoshis
right?
now, which is amusing.
And then they like, re-recorded the dialogue to reference it and everything, so...
Yeah, they put some work into where it does this, that, you know? Where it surprised me. What's that?
They put some work into
right,
this, you
Right, it's not just
know?
A straight-up port, which
with,
I thought...
With 3D effects.
Right, no. And it's a good port. It's a good port of a great game. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing a lot more Batman Arkham City.
Yeah, you got all the Riddler trophies.
I don't know why. I was like, you know what? Fuck the Riddler. I'll get his trophies. So I just did that. I really 100% the game, except like you don't get the 100% achievement unless you play through New Game Plus.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't really want
to
do that.
Yeah,
so.
Don't have to worry about it.
You play
the SSX demo came out. Oh my god, it's so good. You know, they had that first very Dubro trailer.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, they're fucking it up. Nah, either that trailer was a misrepresentation or they listened to the feedback. But this is SSX. It's great.
I need to try that.
It's cool because it takes place on all actual mountains. Apparently they got, like, topographical info from NASA to make this. And it's just so over the top and so much fun. The only thing that's weird, from the soundtracks in the demo... The music's strangely mellow.
Man, weird.
But even then, you could play your own music. But, you know, you got the great thing where you launch yourself in the air and the music kind of, like, subdues and...
Right.
I love it so much. And the multiplayer stuff, you only get to do the leaderboards. There's more to it. That'll be in the full game. And I'm getting it from Gamefly this week. I don't know if it's online passed or not, so I don't know if I get to try all this. But just from watching the videos, there's some cool stuff that this is going to do in multiplayer. So I'll talk about that more after I play it, I guess.
All right. You ready for the releases, then?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So SSX, as you were just saying, PS3, 360. Deep Black Reloaded for PC, no idea. 7554 for the PC. First... Oh, this is that game that's being made in Vietnam, isn't it? Yeah. So, I don't really know what it is. Binary Domain for PS3 and 360. This is being made by the Yakuza guy, I mean. Squad-based shooter. Oh, that's right. Now I know I remember this. I saw this at E3. It did not look good.
I was going to say, I can't imagine it would be, honestly.
Yeah. That was probably him there showing it to me. Actually, it was the Yakuza guy. I didn't realize that time. But
who knew?
I thought it looked... It very much has that thing where it's like... Japanese people trying to make a Western game.
Yeah,
and it always feels really weird to me.
Yeah, you know, people always make fun of, like, oh, Western developers can't make a JRPG-style game. Well, you guys shouldn't make shooters, maybe.
All right. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor 2 for the DS. Now, Devil Survivor 1 was ported to the 3DS.
Yeah.
And this is the sequel. It's just for the DS.
That's weird.
Right, but I heard very good things about the first one. I kept meaning to get that at some point. Mortal Kombat Complete Edition, so 360 PS3, just has all the DLC.
Does not break multiplayer compatibility with the original release, unlike the Super Street Fighter releases did.
Well, this one, I mean, all the characters in this are just the DLC characters.
Right.
Which I've been meaning to get some of. I want to get Rain anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Pokepark
could be fun.
Yeah, Pokepark 2, Wonders Beyond for the Wii.
Oh, man. Line up, kids.
Rhythm Thief and the Emperor's Treasure for the 3DS. I heard some things about this.
Oh, things
Emperor's
you say?
Things. Good things, I think. Lord of the Rings Online, the Mithril Edition. So, I don't know. I assume it just comes with all the expansions. Isn't that a free game now?
Well, yeah, but you don't get the expansions. Right. So the free-to-play one.
And that's about it. Oh, Wakfu is coming out. Ooh. I guess Wakfu out of... it was in beta for a while. This is like... It's a cross between an MMO and a tactical role-playing game. Like a Final Fantasy
is
Tactics.
Shaquille O'Neal in it?
What?
Is Shaquille O'Neal in it?
No. Wakfu, not Shaq-fu.
Aww.
Took me a while there. Wakfu. So, all right, that's it. All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/Exploding Barrel. Sounds like a really
sounds
intense.
Like an RPG subtitle.
Yeah. Facebook. The Book of Fate. Twitter.com/Exploding Barrel. And be sure to check us out on iTunes and leave a review. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Is you're walking across a log, and then halfway, Nathan just like, whoa, loses his balance and stops.